Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 34, verse 1. Psalm 34, verse 1. Man, I'm just, Jennifer and I were watching somebody today, and he said one phrase, and it just got me thinking about a lot of things. And so I was in here praying today, and God just dropped this into my spirit, and I just believe you guys are going to be so blessed. Because I've been blessed all day. I will bless the Lord at all times. At how many times? What about when you don't feel like it? What about when things aren't going good at work? What about when you woke up on the wrong side of the bed? What about on Monday? Okay. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Look at the next verse with me. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Now, I was thinking about it today. And you know, sometimes if you've been in church for a while, you get the language down pat, right? And I noticed that in my own times of worshiping God, that I use the same language over and over again. God, I just love you. God, I worship you. God, I praise you. Lord, I magnify you. Father, I just worship you. You know, actually, I'm not very creative in my worship, to be honest with you. You know, and so I'm worshiping the best way that I know how, you know, but one of the things that stuck out to me was this word, magnify the Lord. Let us magnify the Lord. You know, and the way that I magnify the Lord is I say, Lord, I magnify you. Is anybody else like that besides me? Okay. I use the word magnify to magnify him. Okay. And maybe this is just going to minister to me tonight, but you know, y'all are going to get to go through the way that I process things and how God ministers to me. And so I got to thinking about, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. What does it mean to magnify the Lord? What does it mean to magnify the Lord? Let me ask you a question. What does a magnifying glass do? Come on. It makes things bigger, right? You see things, you know, in a bigger capacity. So you take a magnifying glass and you take a look at an ant. What does it do? That ant becomes bigger and bigger in the view, right? This Hebrew word for magnify actually isn't, it's not an instantaneous change. It's not an instantaneous, you know, like it's small and then boom, it's big. Okay, this word magnify actually means to grow, and it means to make great or become great. There's a process that, you start at one place and then gradually it becomes greater and greater and greater and greater. Let me give you an example of how this word is used. If you'll look at Genesis chapter 26, in Genesis chapter 26, it actually talks about this with regard to men that become wealthy or men that become great. And so in Genesis chapter 26, talking about Isaac, you know, here he was in a place that there was famine. And so the King James Version, verse 13, the King James Version says, Isaac, the man, waxed great. Now, guys, we're not talking about Mr. Miyagi here. Anybody? Anybody? Wax on, wax off, he waxed great. Come on, y'all got to give me a little grace tonight, okay? That's a good joke, guys. My kids would say that's a good dad joke. The New King James Version says the man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. Do y'all see that? The man began to prosper. He continued prospering until he became very prosperous. And so there was a start, And then he grew and he grew and he grew until he became great, until and that's that same Hebrew word to magnify, that there was this growth process. Okay. Now, how do we magnify God? Do we magnify God by saying, God, I magnify you? That's not actually the way that we magnify God. You know, we can use these great Christian phrases, but let's actually do it the way that we're supposed to, because it's going to produce something in our life. If you'll take a look, keep your finger there in Psalm 34, and let's take a look at Psalm 69, verse 30. So it's going to give us one way that we magnify God. Psalm 69, verse 30, I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. In other words, in whatever situation, whatever place I find myself in life, that if I'm going to magnify God, and what does it mean? It means to make him great. In other words, I want to take the magnifying glass of my thanksgiving to not look at my problem, not look at my situation, but to actually take the magnifying. See, you know, the opposite of thanksgiving is complaining and murmuring and all of that, right? And so when I complain, when I talk about my problem, when I talk about the situation, when I talk bad about my wife, when I talk bad about my kids, when I talk about what's going on at work or whatever it may be, what am I doing? My complaining is actually magnifying my situation. And so my situation now becomes great. And it fills my view. It fills my eyesight. It fills my imagination. And it's all I can see. And what does it produce? It produces fear. Now, I'm not going to be able to stay. I'm getting excited already. So that was a good try. I made it that long. I'm excited, okay? So it produces an imagination that then follows out with fear and doubt and unbelief. But here I can make the decision to do something different. I can magnify God instead of my situation. I can change where my view is. I can talk about something else. And it says here, one of the ways that we magnify and cause God to become big in our lives and begin to let him not, you know, to begin with, so see it as a process, to begin with God's victory, God's help, God's love for you. God, are you there? God, where are you? God, I need you, kind of thing. You know, I've got this big situation. You know, and the situation seems really big and God seems really small. But as I turn my attention from this and I begin to thank God, God, thank you for what you've done in my life. Father, I remember the time that you healed my body. Father, I remember when you saved my kids. Father, I remember when you delivered me. What are you doing? You are purposefully moving your attention away from the situation. And as you stay in thanksgiving, what's happening is God's becoming bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and you're magnifying him. Your thanksgiving is your magnifying glass to cause God to become big in your life. Now turn back with me to Psalm 37 again, or 34, where we were. Psalm 34. So let's look at this in practice for a moment. Here David says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Come on. And this is what we're going to do tonight. We're going to magnify the Lord together. We're going to make God big together. Okay, this is where we're going to have participation, and it's going to be awesome. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Now, there's that word again. I exalt thee. So we use the word exalt in our praise. I exalt you, Father. I praise you, Father. I magnify you. No. Take those words and do what those words say to do. Okay? We're going to magnify him. Check it out. I sought the Lord. So what he begins to do is he begins to do exactly what he said he's about to do. He says, let's magnify the Lord together. And then he starts magnifying the Lord. Watch this. This is awesome. I sought the Lord and he heard me. You see what he's doing right there? I sought the Lord. Let me magnify him a little bit. He heard me. Mm. He delivered me from all of my fears. What's he doing? He's continuing to make God bigger. They looked to him and were radiant. Their faces were not ashamed. What is he doing? I'm magnifying the Lord. This poor man cried out. Whew. And the Lord heard him. Thank you, Jesus. And look what he did. And the Lord saved him out of all his troubles. What's he doing? He's magnifying. He's making God bigger. He's not getting stuck on one incident. He's bringing it. The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him. I'm magnifying the Lord. And delivers them. Let's just keep magnifying the Lord. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm magnifying the Lord. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, because there is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. How can you read all of that and then go right back and complain about your situation? You take what God has done in your life. You take what God has done throughout history. You will see that as great men of God, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Jehoshaphat, David, Nehemiah, as they were asking something from the Lord, as they went to the Lord in prayer, what they did is they started talking about what he did to the children of Israel. You took them from slavery. You took them out with an outstretched arm. You took them out with great miracles. You made your name great among your children. You took them out of Egypt. You took them through the wilderness and you brought them into a great land. What is he doing? They're magnifying the Lord. They're causing him to become big in their prayer. Hallelujah. They're not talking about the problem. They're starting out with the solution. That's a great place to say amen. Don't start out. Don't come to God and start out talking about your problem. Start out in praise. Start out in thanksgiving. He's the answer to your problem. So let's start out talking about what he's done. By the time you get through magnifying the Lord, you'll forget about your problem. You'll say, oh, and by the way, I got this little issue I'm just working on, but Father, I thank you that you're already dealing with it, and I got the wisdom. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, come on, this is awesome. This is practical in the way. Look at Joshua chapter 3, verse 7. Joshua chapter 3, verse 7. Just so that you see that we're talking about what your vision is. What are you seeing? The Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. So what is he saying there? Using that word magnify. He didn't go down and say, Joshua, I magnify you. What did he do? He started causing victory. You know, Jericho and places like that to happen through Joshua, through his leadership. And what it did is in the sight of the people, because they're like, you know, Joshua, you're not Moses. How would you like to be the one to take after Moses? How would you like to follow that? And you get up there and say, hey, I'm God's man. They say, no, you're not. You're not Moses. God said, listen, this is a word. Don't go around trying to magnify yourself. Let God be the one to exalt you in due time. The Word of God says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will exalt you, right? And so what we should be doing is magnifying God, magnifying Him. You know, today when I was praying, you know, one of the things that just on my heart, I just said, Father, 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 I love you so much. Thank you for everything that you're doing here at Life of Faith. But Father, please help me to make sure that no attention is being drawn to the church or no attention is being drawn to us, but that Jesus, you're getting all the glory, that Father, you're the one that's being magnified, that you're the one that people see, that it's by your hands. Let everything that I say be directed in such a way that it draws attention to you and never draws attention to us. Joshua just wanted to serve. And so because he served, God positioned him to then lead. But then God was the one that magnified him and caused him to become great in the eyes of the people that he was leading. It's about where your vision is at. I just wanted to make that connection here in this scripture. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 46. Luke chapter 1, verse 46. Mary says, oh man, this is awesome. Mary says, my soul magnifies the Lord. What does the magnify mean? To make bigger, to make greater. My soul magnifies the Lord. And then she starts doing it. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for, check it out, He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me. Can you say that? Can you magnify the Lord? I'm sorry, I told you I'm getting excited. And just say, He who is mighty has done great things for me. And holy is His name. And His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. And He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He's filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Just sounds like to me, she just got about magnifying the Lord. And making and making sure that her view and that her vision was full of Him. Look at Acts chapter 19, verse 15. Here's a little situation. It's kind of fun, actually. Some people it's not fun. But there was this man that was demon possessed. And so these Jewish exorcists, if you will, mystical people decided they were going to go cast this thing out. Now, they had their little book and they had all their incantations, and they tried everything and nothing worked. So they tried something else. They just added something else to their mix and their bag of stuff that they did. And so they said, you know, we adjure you, we cast you out by Jesus whom Paul preaches, because that's supposed to work. That's the magic phrase. The evil spirit answered and said, are you ready for an evil spirit to answer you? One time I was, I had called somebody who was demon possessed. He was dealing, he literally had an issue going on. But he didn't recognize, like he blacked out when this thing took over. Okay. And so like I was talking to him on the phone, I said, hey, you know, I think, I'd like to come and see you. I'd like to talk to you about something. We talked for a little bit. I'd like to talk to you about some things, you know, and I got some things on my heart. All of a sudden his voice changed and he says, what gives you the right? Maybe I'll stay home today. No, that's not what I was thinking. Demons don't scare me at all, you know? It's just like, okay. I said, what do you mean what gives me the right? I was about to go full-blooded Jesus on them, see? But the Lord checked me for me and asked the question. I said, what do you mean what gives me the right? And then he was back in his right mind. He said, what do you mean what gives you the right? I said, you just asked me what gives me the right. He said, no, I didn't. I said, you know what? Let's just wait till I come to your house and we'll talk about these things. And so we went up there and cast the devil out. But you don't have to be afraid of those things. Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Do you know who you are? Do you know who Jesus is in you? You better. Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. That was not a good day for the Jewish exorcist. This became known both to all the Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And look at this. Look at this. The name of the Lord Jesus was what? Magnified. It became great. People heard more about it when they understood what was going on. And look at what happened as a result. Thank you, Jesus. Of his name being magnified, of his name becoming great, of that being what people heard about all the time. Many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Why? The name of the Lord was magnified. Are you talking about what Jesus has done? Are you magnifying him? Is he becoming greater in your life and in your conversation? Look at Acts chapter 10, verse 44. What's another way that we can magnify God? What's another way that we can magnify God? We can do it through our thanksgiving. We read that scripture. We do it by talking of his great deeds. In verse 44 of Acts chapter 10, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit, this is the first time that the Holy Spirit fell on non-Jewish people, on the Gentiles. The Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. The Jewish people, the Jewish Christians were amazed. They didn't think this could happen to a non-Jewish person. As many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 8. The day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came in, the first time that people were filled with the Spirit, and then the disciples started speaking in tongues, all this crowd came together and says, how is it, verse 8, that we hear, each in our own language in which we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretan and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues, in our own languages, the wonderful works of God. When you're praying in the Spirit, when you're speaking in tongues, you are magnifying God. You are declaring the works of God. A Jude tells us that we need to pray in the Spirit, building up ourselves on our most holy faith. Man, as you magnify, as you start praying in the Spirit, man, kodra manda sile beke hi brokto so gramande, kodre mende la manda la sike. What are you doing? You're letting rivers of living water begin to flow through you. Okay, you need to be strengthened by the Spirit of God in your inner man. You need God to manifest himself in your life through your spirit from the inside out. You don't need him to manifest from the outside in. I'm not waiting for God to come on me. God is in me. I want him to fill me up. So what am I going to do? I'm going to begin magnifying the Lord. And it may start, I may not feel anything. I may not be experiencing God at all. But as I begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, the Bible says over in 1 Corinthians 14, that he that speaks in an unknown language doesn't speak to other people, but he builds himself up. All of a sudden, the Spirit of God, it just becomes bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And that sounds a lot like magnifying to me. You're magnifying God and he becomes bigger in your life. Lord said, just let you magnify the Lord for a moment.
Well, over the past few weeks, it's like Wendy was talking about, you know, you're always thinking about your children, you know, are they okay? But you know they're okay, and you're speaking over them. Wendy and I speak over them, pray over them, talk to them all the time. And our oldest son, he works for Oral Roberts University, and his wife is the praise and worship leader for Oral Roberts University. Well, they've been going through some stuff, and they decided that the Lord was leading them to resign from their job. Well, it caused a lot of things going on in their lives, and my son is having a lot of anxiety, pain in his head and stuff. And then our youngest daughter, Mary Calloway, my stepdad passed away last year. And they were really close. And it really bothered her. And she's having a lot of anxiety about it still. It's been a year, a little over a year. And so Wendy and I have been talking to her, praying over her, praying with her, and talking with her about it. But still, you know, those kind of things going on in your children, it keeps you thinking about it. Well, all this was going on with Michael out in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Then MC, she's in Florence at University of North Alabama. And, you know, they're not here. And Wendy and I can't always physically put our hands on them and love them and pray for them. Well, those things were just going back and forth in my mind and Wendy's mind. And Pastor Mark was stepping in and talking to them, each one. What about a pastor? What about a pastor that my oldest son doesn't even go to his church, but he'll call him and talk to him and call and talk to Mary Calloway? So these things are kind of working out. And that Friday, I was kind of wondering, I said, Lord, what do we do? And I know Wendy was going through the same things, you know, just believing for our children. And I was really getting uptight about it. So I decided, well, we need to get away for the weekend. So so after Pastor Mark talked to him.
Now, was that okay with the Holy Ghost?
Wait a minute, I'm getting there. And so Pastor Mark called me and we were talking about it. And I just cracked up because Holy Ghost, you know, he cracks me up. He breaks me down laughing so hard. And he said, everything's okay. Y'all don't need to go out of town. But still, I was kind of, you know, not knowing what to do. So I said, we're going to go ahead and go. Wendy and I decided we'd go ahead and go. Because MC, Mary Calloway, was in Panama City with her sister and some of her friends. So we was going to swing by Panama City and check on her, then drive on out to Apalachicola for our little getaway weekend. So we go by, Mary Calloway's fine. And we head on through Panama City and we're observing all the hurricane damage going east. And we get to Mexico Beach and it's just wiped out. And that's like one of our favorite places. And we're going out of Mexico Beach towards Port St. Joe on Highway 98. And I noticed this young girl's right on my bumper. So I speed up a little bit, and she speeds up. So I said, well, I'm just going to slow down and let her pass me. Well, she doesn't. So I kind of forget about it, and we're going over the bay, St. Joe Bay, going into St. Joe. And the first red light there, I kind of forgot about her. Well, the red light's red, cars are stopped. So we stop. Well, she runs right into the back of us. And just like runs up under us. And thank God we barely hit the car in front of us. And our car was kind of okay, just some scratches and stuff, but it tore her car up. But we were just so thankful how the Lord, you know, just took care of us. So we get the police report, wrote it up and all that. So we hit a beautiful day. We're driving over Apalachicola, and it's beautiful. And over Apalachicola is this big old black cloud. And it's just not moving. When we're coming into Apalachicola, and it's raining like crazy, thunderstorm. And we get in Apalachicola, and lightning has struck the pump station, and Apalachicola's flooding. It's raining so hard, we pull up to where we're staying, at the inn where we're staying, and the water's up to the door.
Oh, my God.
It's like halfway up my calf. And it's raining so hard, you can't even get out of the car. So we sit in the car for about 2.5 hours, driving around Apalachicola, stop, and drive over here, and it's still just pouring down. Well, finally, the rain stops. Well, we find this little place called Hole in the Wall Seafood. Great seafood. We enjoy that and everything, you know. We have, and every time, you know, and we have a good time that night. And next day, we meet a couple of young men from New York, and Wendy takes some pictures of them, you know, in front of some of the old buildings. It's like Mayberry on the Sea, Apalachicola. And so we get to talk to them about the Lord and everything, and everything's great. So now Mary Calloway calls. She wants us to come get her because the Wi-Fi where they're staying is not good, and bring her home. So we drive, and she has an online class on Monday. So we drive back to Panama City, pick her up. We're going up 79 out of Panama City, going towards Alp, Alabama. We're going home. Everything's cool. Well, we're going up this two-lane highway, and the shoulder on the road is about from here to that wall, no kidding, on both sides. And so we're coming up to there, and we're coming in this long curve where there's about 8 cars coming out of that long curve. Well, the last 3 say, well, we're going to pass like NASCAR before we get to us, me and Wendy and MC. So the first 2 cars make it, and then there's this four-wheel drive F-150 crew cab. I bet he's going 80, 85 miles an hour, coming right at us. I mean, we'd see the boy's face. And I start to turn off the road, and the Holy Spirit tells me, stay in your lane. Well, I just held the steering wheel straight, and he goes offside. He's going 80, 85 miles an hour, and that truck's just bouncing and turning sideways. Well, I'm just looking ahead, and I don't know what happened to him. But we get on by all that, and I look in the rearview mirror, and the 2 trucks that were behind us are pulling over. So something happened. Well, I didn't stop. I just kept on going, thank God, thanking the Holy Ghost. And we're like, so I'm getting back to Birmingham and going to church. Amen. You want to say anything?
Hi, y'all. I just want to give God the glory for... His goodness and his protection and how he watches over his children.
Come on.
A lot of you don't know a lot about my background, and I'm going to keep it real condensed. There have just been events that have happened in my life, like real life and death experiences. When I was 11 years old, I was held hostage for 36 hours, had a knife held at my throat, went through a whole ordeal with that. As a young adult, I had an experience with a home invasion, had my head busted open with a gun, tied up, thought that, you know, I was saying my goodbyes to this world, actually had the experience of preparing to die, which I don't, that doesn't make sense if you say it, it's just, anyway. So on that ride home, having that moment with that head-on collision just triggered that feeling. And I've had trouble with it that was the 1st of June that this happened, roughly about 3 weeks ago. And I know the Lord loves me. I know the Word. I'm in a good church. You know all of those things. But I was just having trouble with it, and I got stuck. And I'm so very thankful. It's all a setup for us and our family. And for anybody that will say yes to Life of Faith and the leadership and just the first time we came here, we were like, I don't know what it is, but the Lord is definitely here, and he's definitely doing something, and we want to be here. And so if you say yes to that, this is available to everyone. But I'm so thankful to be in a place where I didn't have to... I didn't have to continue to just try to deal with that on my own and just walk that out. I mean, I was having a little trouble. I really was. And so Saturday I came to prayer and shared a little bit with Pastor Mark about that. You know, and Jeff has been right there with me. It's something that's really hard to explain when you've had an experience like that and you have that trigger happen. I mean, I'm so thankful we were okay. I knew God had protected us, but it was just something. Well, Pastor Mark called today with a word, and it was just so powerful for me. And the word, now I may not remember.
I'll share it.
Thank you. I'm so glad. But I'm so thankful because I'm going to do what he said to do, which is when I was a little girl, God was with me and he saved me. When I was a young adult, God was with me and he protected me. And he has kept me under the shadow of his wing. And if you look to him and believe and just say yes, he will do it for everyone. So I'm alive, I'm here, and I'm declaring that God is good. His mercies are rich and they endure forever. He sees, his eyes never look away from his children. He is but a breath away. Call on his name, he's there. He wants to hear from you. He wants you to know that he loves you, he protects you, and he's got you.
Amen. Come on. Listen, let me give you this word and then we'll be done. Because I wanted to end with them, because I believe this is also a word for others. I'll teach a message from this at some point, because when the Lord showed this to me, I thought, man, this is awesome. First of all, I want you to hear something that he said as he's coming around, as he's, as he's trying to react to this truck coming towards him. I didn't tell you this thought, but as he's coming towards him, he was going to react to what was happening. And how many times do we do that in life? That because of the obstacle, because of the situation, because of the problem, that when our emotions get involved, then we start trying to make adjustments and trying to react. But what the Spirit of the Lord said is stay in your lane. Stay with what I've told you to do. That's a word from the Lord for somebody. You're wanting to make adjustments, you're wanting to make changes, but God is saying, stay in your lane. Scripture says, look right on, don't look to the right, don't look to the left, keep your eyelids looking right before you. The path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter and brighter, and whoever this is for, don't make a decision based on the situation. Don't let your emotions to cause you to make a shift. Listen to what the Holy Spirit says and make sure that you're hearing a word from God. Amen. So that's for somebody regarding another situation. All right. But what I had for her was this. David. Think about this. David's a teenager. David, he's out there keeping sheep. All of a sudden, a bear shows up. Now, if a bear shows up and I'm a teenager, one thing I'm not doing, I'm not trying to pet the bear and I'm not trying to mess with the bear. I'm running from the bear. David didn't run from the bear. He killed the bear. But God, he says, God delivered me from the bear. Okay, if that's bad enough, and that's a great testimony to give at church, a few days later, a lion shows up. Or vice versa. I don't know which order it came in. A lion, guys. If I'm a teenager and I had a run-in with a bear and I had a run-in with a lion, that's messed me up for life. That can be a traumatic experience. As a matter of fact, the second time it happened, I'm going home to dad and I say, I quit. You find somebody else to keep the sheep. Think about it. You put yourself in that situation and you think about that for a second. How would it have affected you as a 15 or 16 year old? What kind of fear would it have created in you that the next time, 20 years later, that your kids want you to take them camping, that it would prevent you from taking them camping because you always flashed back to what happened when you were a teenager? Let's bring it down to our experience for a moment, because we think David's all that and all that. No. You put yourself in those shoes. David didn't react that way. Let me tell you what David did. David didn't magnify the bear. He didn't magnify the lion. What he did was he magnified the God that delivered him. And so what he did is he actually used that experience as a stepping stone, as a step to actually go after something bigger, and that was Goliath. In other words, instead of letting that create a traumatic event that created a victim mentality that caused him to shut down and to shrink back, that what it actually did is it caused him who loved to praise God, who loved to magnify God, who loved to focus. He had gotten in such a habit of causing God to be bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger in his life that he took that moment with the lion, that moment with the bear, and said, God delivered me from that. God delivered me from that. So God's going to deliver me from this Philistine, this giant. And then he went running after the giant. Woo! You need to take those moments in your life that have been traumatic to you, that somebody's hurt you, that somebody's abused you, that the image of that moment has been seared into your mind, and you need to turn right around and start magnifying God. You're here today. God has saved you. You're alive today. God's delivered you. Doesn't mean that that God didn't want you to have to go through that. The Holy Ghost told them, don't go on this trip. They went on the trip. But the goodness of God is to protect them while they were on the trip. When we're unfaithful, God is still faithful. I'm magnifying God for a moment. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my God. In him will I trust. He is a shield to me. He is a buckler. The angels are encamped around about me. Though I trip over a stone, the angels will bear me up. No evil shall befall me. 1,000 can fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come nigh me. Why? Because I have set my love on him. Surely he will deliver me. And with long life, he will satisfy me. That's Psalms 91. And I'm going to magnify the Lord. I challenge you, don't try to ignore that event. Here's what happens. And here's what happened with Wendy. As you take moments in your life, when she's 11, when she's a young woman, you try to push those things to the side. Don't want to think about it anymore. It's a traumatic experience. And I say, turn right around and you start declaring the word of God to that moment. God delivered me there. God delivered me when I had the home invasion. God delivered me. God said he would never leave me. He would never forsake me. He was right there. And I want you to, you magnify God in the situation. You magnify him where he is. You make that situation to where it's a little bitty, a little bitty ant, because you have magnified God. And as you magnify God, watch the ray of his light come in and just focus on that little bitty situation and destroy it. So it loses its power over you.